I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you've been here before, you know we do solo episodes as well as guest episodes, talking with women who've done incredible things in midlife, as well as experts who can help us in every area of our life, from finance to business to health and wellness to sex to money, you name it. If you like this podcast, please do me a favor, go on, subscribe, leave a review, because that will help other women find this podcast. And I really strongly believe in supporting one another, because that is how we are going to create a world of strong, powerful, supportive women. So today is one of the guest episodes, and we are talking sex. Dr. Toni Baer is a sexologist, speaker, and life coach, and she is on a mission to empower women through self-discovery, passionate expression, and sexual exploration. She helps women to uncover the obstacles that may be holding them back while cultivating a positive mindset for growth and transformation. Toni speaks on stages and facilitates women's retreats all over the globe. And I have to say, the first thing that caught my eye when I went to her site was that it says VAMP, visionary and leader of the women's sex positive movement. Toni, thank you so much for joining us today.
Allison, I am thrilled to be here and excited to see what we end up talking about.
Well, and as I've said before in many of my episodes, I've met so many incredible women, but we were on a group together and I was like, I have to have her on my podcast. So let's start off, first of all, sexologist. What do you do as a sexologist?
It's a wonderful career, Allison. I study sex. And I started many, many years ago studying sexual development and identity so that I could help adolescents, high school students on their journey of their identity development.
And, you know, women's sex positive movement, part of me thinks that the younger generation right now is more free to explore their sexuality, their gender identity than women in midlife. And you know, I wonder, can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. There's in one way, the younger generation is very blessed to have the internet and have access to so much information. I lived in a little town in the middle of Pennsylvania, and coming out for myself was I moved to San Francisco. That's what gay people did in the 1980s. And but young people can learn what they need to learn on the internet. The flip side of that is the internet is so vast with knowledge that is incorrect, or hurtful, or harmful, or bullying, or so much stuff. That the younger generation, yes, they can come out earlier, but they don't have the strength that a midlife woman would have, a foundation to walk on to be strong while this is happening. Now, we could say, you know, as a woman in her 40s, you know, it really shook me up coming out. I understand that very well. However, imagine being 15, 14, 10, 18, they're still figuring everything out. So they have more information and they are coming out early, but I would like to watch this 20 years from now and see if they're still out or they're not out, or it was a curiosity. I mean, there's so many options and paths that folks take.
Yeah. And the other part of women's sex positive movement that I think is it's still such a patriarchal society, and women are repressed. Women are not allowed to be sexual beings and are just blamed and shamed for it. And I think it's so important to have the freedom that you talk about to be able to express ourselves sexually, regardless of our sexual orientation.
Right. I could tell you, as a university professor teaching women and sex studies, the young women, while they have access to all this information, are still very confused and have so many questions. And what I dealt with the most in my classes, and I do now with one-on-one counseling, is societal expectations. And the stigma placed upon women who are sexual or enjoy their sexuality or enjoy different types of expression of sexuality, we're still slut-shamed in 2024.
How, I mean, well, so let's get back to that. Why sex coaching as a career, and what does that mean?
Right. I have done sex coaching my entire adult life and run retreats on weekends my entire adult life. And places for women to talk about their sexuality, to explore different types of sexual expression, and to talk openly and have questions. I can tell you, even at my business retreats that I'm on as a businesswoman, by the end of the week, every woman at that retreat has pulled me aside and asked me a question about their husband and themselves. So, sex coaching is merely answering the questions that folks have. And, like all coaching, no matter if it's wealth coaching, relationship coaching, it's looking at where you are right now and looking at where you want to go and helping somebody go from number one to number 10.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a really good question. So, when I'm doing my life coaching, I say, you can only change yourself. You can only have your own goals. You can't change someone else. So, when it comes to sex, how does that work if you're only working with one of the partners?
So, coaching in sexuality is life coaching. It's one form of life coaching. Other individuals might have an emphasis in health and fitness. Mine is in sexuality. And sexuality is a process of coming out for every single individual, not just gay folks. We come out into our own sexual expression. And with each individual, that starts with oneself. The first stage is we uncover what the obstacles are, and it's better to do it by oneself, right? Is and we dig deep into the subconscious and how you've been socialized. And then we discover is the next stage, which is discovering other ways of thinking that are outside your paradigm of your personal sexuality. And yes, the last stage, which is exploration, it starts with oneself again. However uncomfortable that topic is for folks, knowing your own body and how it works. Many women are not orgasmic, and we talk about that, and we work on one's own orgasms. And I don't coach couples. I coach females, women, and I will do a session or two in a couple, but they need to go to couples counseling or a couples sexologist, sex therapy for that kind of work. I basically work with a woman by herself, and if she's partnered with somebody, that somebody can practice along with her in her exploration phase. And I can tell you, most partners are very happy about
I bet.
this, about
Exactly.
this kind of coaching.
Honey, I'm going to a sex coach.
Right. The people that are most thrilled when I do calls, talk to people, what I do are the men. It's like, I would love if my wife did that. And not that there's something wrong, but so many women, including myself, it's been a process of just being comfortable and open. Our body image, right, is huge for women. Our sexual appetite and being able to actually be the aggressor sometimes, right? Men love that. They love if you're okay with your body and that you sometimes initiate a sexual experience as well.
Okay, so here's my issue, and here's a lot of issues with some friends I've spoken to. I love sex. I'm okay with my body. It is the to-do list and the exhaustion and the mental load that's in my head. And I just had this conversation with my friend the other night. It's like, you know, her fiance would love to always have sex, but we're ex freaking exhausted. And it's like, okay, well, I could fit you in between 2:15 and 3:45, but if you're not available, then sorry, time's out. And I think that's so true for so many women. And not to, you know, not to belittle men, but as the woman, we do. We have so many things going on in our head. What do you do about that?
There are many things that we can do.
Help us.
We first have to start with, are you doing all the homework and what are they doing? Is there an equal sharing of household responsibilities and child rearing responsibilities? And my ex-husband many years ago, very much fixed up the house and cleaned the house, and it was very equal. So that's one issue. The second issue that you're talking about is it's in your head. You've got a little gerbil wheel going on there. That's a different issue. And there are a lot of people that have what the Buddhists would call monkey mind, right?
Yes,
That
yeah.
something's always going
Oh,
on
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And that's practice, meditation, relaxation, etc., and not assuming that you're the hero mom. Every mom is thinking they're, some kind of superhero, that they do everything.
Yeah. And so that's interesting because I always talk about how the importance of mindfulness and meditation, and I never connected it with the idea of sex, which is so obvious, but until you said it, it really didn't come to me. But then there is the whole other issue for many women, especially when they get into midlife, where their body doesn't look the same anymore. And the images of what a gorgeous woman should look like that they think their partner's going to be attracted to. And so it may not even be the conversation, right? It might be in her own head, but our bodies change, right?
Right. And so does his.
Yeah.
Right.
Or hers.
Or hers.
Right.
Right. Or hers. Yet, as you know, as someone who is gay, I can tell you that there are special problems that two women have. But body image is one that normally does pretty well in that you're both dealing with the same thing at the
Right.
same time,
Good point.
generally. But and the not solution, but the process of making that better is conversation and
Yeah.
talking. You want to know that he's or she is okay with you,
Yeah.
right? You're feeling that you're not enough,
Yeah.
that there's something that you're just not as valuable right now as a partner because you don't look like you did 5, 10 years ago.
Right.
And I could tell you my wife and I go through that as well. She's in her 50s and I just hit 60. And
Happy birthday.
thank you. And we talk about it all of the time. Conversation, knowing they're okay with you and they're still attracted to you, showing affection. We all need reassurance.
It's so true. And it's sad that I'm hearing you say so many women don't have orgasms. It's just, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because it's probably each person, but is it more a mental problem, you think, than a physical problem? I mean, obviously, when we hit menopause, you know, we do sometimes need lubrication and things like that. But is it more of a mental thing?
I believe so. But it starts with a knowledge thing. Not every woman, in fact, I would say very few women, know their own body very well and how it operates. Not only is sex stigmatized, masturbation is stigmatized. So are you orgasmic by yourself? That's kind of the first stage. And if you're not, I send people to their doctors and find out if there's something medical. Most cases, you're correct. It's not medical. It's not physical. And it's not menopause. Everybody thinks it's menopause.
Yeah.
It's your desire has decreased. So being turned on, it's easier when you're younger because your hormones are raging.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it gets more difficult as you get older. It's not because of menopause, but it's because we are not in that honeymoon phase and we need to get excited.
Yeah.
Right now, men and women, men are more responsive, have responsive desire through their lifetime. In other words, their body reacts whether they want to or not sometimes, most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're turned on. But most women, 80 to 90% above adolescence and early 20s, but starting as early as late 20s, 30s, we're more spontaneous. Or actually, I have it backwards. Sorry.
Yeah.
Spontaneous is what the guys are.
Yeah.
Women are more responsive.
Yeah,
I had the terms reversed. Responsive means that we respond to sensation.
Yeah.
So we need to be touched. We need to be told nice things. We need to be romanced.
Right.
And we need more warm-up time, not that 10 minutes in the closet you were talking about earlier in your schedule.
Exactly. I mean, I need that. And this is what I try to say to my husband all the time. I need that mental foreplay, right? Like I need to feel wined and dined and whatever it is, flirted with, everything. Because yeah, like once you're in a relationship for a certain amount of time, it doesn't happen as magically, right? And so how can a woman start talking about what she needs where it's being heard? And also, quite frankly, how can she get returned on to the partner she's been with maybe for 10, 15 years?
Yeah, I just did a series of TikToks. I just got on TikTok.
Oh my gosh, you're better than me.
It's been fun. It's been fun. I just got on TikTok and I've been doing TikToks on this topic.
Really?
Because desire and woman's desire and how can I get more turned on? Like that is something that is on so many women's minds.
Yeah.
And I'm finding guys watching it to learn what the secrets are too.
Right.
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 So the number one thing that extinguishes your libido and desire is stress. Is stress. And taking away the stress, and I've done a lot of small TikToks on this. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Check your phone?
Yeah, usually.
If you check your phone, does that get you in the mood?
Right.
Because as we sleep, not just guys and testosterone, but women and estrogen, even later in life, as we sleep, we're building more hormones. So in the morning, we're primed to go, right?
See, so that's when you should have sex. I agree. I'm exhausted at night.
Yeah, I'm not a morning person per se. So but if you start with the stressful stuff, like reading your email, like thinking of your day and all the things, if you're starting the gerbil wheel, you're starting, your body is in a fight or flight mode all day. Like, oh my God, I got to do this. I got to do that. And you're not relaxed. And to be sexual, to enjoy that quality time together, stress, fight or flight is the opposite of what you want. And as I said before, the number one thing to get a woman in the mood is sensory, whether it's scent or touch, sensory kind of stimulation. So we do it to ourselves, number one. And, you know, I just put on as a Valentine's week when we're recording this, a Valentine's week present. I said to put sex on the calendar. People are like, well, that's not spontaneous.
I know.
But the advantage of putting it on the calendar is all day, what you do is looking forward to that moment later in the evening. Mm-hmm. So it's what you eat. It's about working out. It's about kind texts. It's about the flirtation all day.
Mm.
You are putting yourself in the mindset of having sex.
Interesting.
If I'm putting myself in the mindset of being mom all day,
yeah,
then I'm not thinking sexy, right?
Yeah.
And we have to be mom, and we have to be our career woman, and we need to be the daughter of aging parents, and we're in this sandwich kind of spot. And putting it on the calendar, just between the two of you, is your own secret sauce in your relationship.
Yeah. Even having like a different word or like secret note or something. I agree with you. I mean, I felt that same way. It's like, I don't want to schedule sex because then it's just another thing on my to-do list. But you're right. You know, it's hard. So I hear you saying, and you're right, like men would love to have women initiated. It's almost like this catch 22. Women need to be romanced. And if they romance, they'd get more sex. But until they do, they don't. And it's that vicious cycle, right? So is it almost like women have to kind of fake it till they get into it?
Wow. Fake it. At what point are you
well,
talking about?
If you know, if you're really not into just initiating without him romancing you first, it's kind of hard, but no pun intended. But if you do initiate, then maybe that will turn him around the next time to be more flirtatious, right? Or do I have it wrong?
No. Sexuality and flirtation works both ways.
Yeah.
And if you place yourself in a submissive role 24/7 all of the time, and this is his job, or if you're in a female relationship, that's the butch's job.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
something. When you have the short hair, evidently you're supposed to be more
accurate.
Yeah. And I didn't learn that for a while. I'm like, really? You know, and it's not, I know that's a stereotype, but it's a stereotype for heterosexual couples as well. But, you know, we don't want to put it on the job list for him, just like mowing the lawn or taking out the trash.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things, I mean, obviously, how sexual desire does change as we get older. But I think there's this, I think, talk about stereotypes. I think there's the stereotype that women in their 60s or 70s aren't having sex. And that's not true, right? Like, you could be having sex until you're 70 or 80 if you want.
Right. Our desire does not diminish. I think that's a stereotype as well.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. Again, it's a mindset. And yes, physical things happen. And yes, as we get older, we need some lube and the vaginal walls get thinner. And for some people, not all people, and nothing is for everyone. And
right.
It's funny, I think about this. I have an older sister that looks just like me. Same coloration, everything. And it's amazing that she goes through stages of life before I do, and son of a gun, whatever happens to her usually happens to me. She is 15 years older, she's heterosexual, but it's amazing.
Wow.
Like, she'll tell me at one point in her life, sex is stupid. Oh my God, it's so stupid. And then, you know, 10 years later, she'll say to me, oh, I just can't get enough. And she's like, you know, like 65 at that time. I'm like, really? You know, you know, really? So I have the advantage of having an older sister that's a decade older.
Yeah.
And watching all of these phases that she goes through, and it gives me hope. Like, if I'm thinking sex is stupid for a while, I'm like, well, you know what? My older sister, she bounced back. So maybe I'll bounce back. And maybe it's has more to do with the stress. Like, we go back to stress.
Yes.
When I was going up for full professor, there was so much stress.
Yeah.
For so many years, and I gained weight, and my face got rounder, and all of these physical things, I became fatigued, and then I didn't want sex, right? Because I'm having this stressful period in my life, but I wish I had to do it all over again, because now I can recognize it in other people. I should have recognized it in myself, and I could have done something. I had a divorce, actually two, one to a man and one to a woman in my life. And they occurred during the most stressful periods of time, you know? So I don't think lack of desire comes from a chronological age. I think it comes from a stage of life and what we prioritize.
Yeah, that's true too. It's interesting because I am in a second marriage. And when we got married, my kids were little, like they were 3 and 5 and 9. And trying to balance a new marriage and new relationship with being mom to little ones, that wasn't easy. It was tough because they're around all the time.
But it's amazing though. Like, my older sister had like 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you have one baby on one hip and a toddler over here, but somehow you had sex again because it was a number 3, right? So, you know, yes and no, right? Like, again, it's priorities.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's difficult when you have children and figuring out when and how, and
it is logistics
stuff. Yeah.
And I think, and I don't know that this is your area of expertise, but I personally believe, and I hope my kids aren't, because they'll be like, oh, mom, I am very open and honest about sex with my kids. I have been for a long time because I don't want it to be taboo. And sometimes they're like, oh God, mom, I don't want to know. But I'm like, I want it to be if at least lighthearted, but not something that's just shame or hidden, because I think that's what's caused it all, right?
Yeah. I'm not a parenting expert. That's true. But like, I grew up with a mother that was a foster teenager, a teenager that went into foster care and ended up living in a convent and graduating from a convent
Oh my
school.
Gosh. Yeah.
So I learned how to dress and undress without showing any part of my body.
Wow.
Right? So if you want to talk about extremes.
Yeah.
And where, like, I was so sexually shy that it took me almost to age 40 to open up and blossom.
Wow.
And that's where I got this huge interest in first developing curriculum materials for adolescents so that they know about sexual identity in general, let alone different variations of sexual orientations. But for myself, the reason my whole motivation, where it comes from, this is the secret, that I don't think a woman needs to wait till she's 40 to start opening up and exploring.
Yeah.
And had I, yes, I went to therapists, but a coach is different than a therapist. Therapist talks about all your problems and where they came from. And I think many of us need that. However, a coach takes you from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I coach instead of doing therapy, my wife is a therapist, is I can't stand talking about something without doing something about
Amen.
it.
Amen. Exactly.
So, yes, you grew up in a way where you're socially, sexually shy. And yes, you might have been traumatized. So was I. That's a different story for a different day. However, I don't want to be that anymore.
Right.
I want to be a sexually vibrant person.
Yes.
Because sexuality is one component of the many parts that are me.
Right. And so your retreats, they are for all women.
Mm-hmm.
Any
mm-hmm.
sexuality, right? Tell us what your retreats are like.
Oh, there's different kinds and different types. But I have one coming up in June in Costa Rica.
Oh.
And this one is a woman's sexuality retreat. And what they look like is, I also like art. I do intuitive art, which is more of a mindfulness practice than it is artistic skill at all. So in Costa Rica, we go for a week and I spoil the living daylights out of you with a butler and a driver and yoga.
Oh.
And I bring in my own personal chefs from
Oh my
Costa
gosh.
Rica and we cook all healthy, but local. So you
Okay.
taste all the local flavors and the punches and the fruit and the vibrancy of the organic foods. Right. And so you're spoiled. And yes, you go through three workshops during the week and you go through three painting exercises on top of that, where we put, yes, we journal, but we put a layer of paint down after the first or second day. And then we have more experiences. We go to an adventure park. I take you to shopping. We go to a jungle safari boat
Oh my
ride.
God.
So it's all of these experiences in Costa Rica. But this is one of the blue zones in the world, one of the healthiest places in the world where people live a very long time. And it's a different mindset. So the vibrancy and the vibration are so high there that, yes, earlier in the week, we dig into the obstacles that are in the way, and then we do some discovery. And we do exploration, but you do it in your mind. You're not having sex with people. Some people think I'm having like these orgies.
Orgies, right?
And yeah, we could do that, but that's not what happens.
Right.
and at the end of the week, just like many transformational experiences, you start somewhere and you leave someplace better.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
And I believe, and I feel just personally, that having a good handle or feeling like a sexual being goes right in with self-confidence, with power, with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite things, I am very shy still about my body and stuff like that. And one of the things that I love, we have our own infinity pool in the mansions that I rent. And it's amazing how many women end up flipping off their clothes and swimming naked by the end of the week for the very first time in their life. And to feel that comfortable and be that liberated.
Yes.
Right,
Wow.
Is beautiful.
So that's happening in June, and I'm sure the link is on your website, but I'm going to put it in the show notes because that sounds amazing. And again, for those of us who are married to men, I'm sure they're like, sexual retreat? Go on, honey.
Yeah, because we'll have discussions like we've done on this podcast, and we'll all give each other advice, but I give individuals advice as well. It's an immersive program where if you have some insecurities that you could talk about it,
yeah,
whether it's in the group, usually in the group, most people open up. But to me personally, you know,
yeah,
to get one-on-one time with a sex coach to help
wow.
you with your challenges.
In Costa Rica, being pampered.
Yes.
Sign me up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's only 10 spots. So
how many are left?
Nine. I just put it on sale 2 weeks ago
Perfect.
and I haven't
So,
come around
well,
yet.
I'm going to try to get this podcast. As you said, this is being recorded early February. I'm going to get this up as soon as possible because I want people to sign up because this is just, it's fabulous. And Costa Rica is someplace that it's always been on my bucket list to go. I didn't know it was one of the Blue Zone areas. That's interesting.
And I'm holding a retreat in like 2 weeks in Paris.
Oh.
And it's like an Airbnb kind of reality show. It's a whole bunch of people that know each other but from different parts of the world that are coming together.
Amazing.
But I in Italy, I do a conference in October for folks in the wellness industry. And Sardinia, right
Oh,
outside of Rome,
yes.
is one of the blue zones as
That
well.
I knew. Wow. So you do retreats, you do coaching, you've got your podcast. You're doing it all.
I am doing it all, but know that being a full-time entrepreneur, I am brand new at doing this full-time.
Really?
I have done this part-time for friends for free my entire life.
Wow.
So having it as a career, and the only reason I have to charge now is because I can't keep doing these things because the universities are not paying for me to be on stages in Europe and different places.
Right.
So now I have to figure out a way to pay for everything. So this, it's a renaissance, Allison, for me. It's new. And I have news, this will be my first announcement. I just got a TV show. So on a
Congratulations.
right. I'm going to be part of the LA Tribune Women's Network, and have my own channel. So
Oh my gosh. That is exciting. When is that going to start?
oh God knows. I don't, I, you know, I just got the contract in the
That is
2 days ago.
congratulations. So obviously I had you on because you are a sex expert, but now I'm having you on because you're doing something completely different in midlife. That is huge, and you're rocking it already.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's, some people think 60 is a senior rather than midlife, right?
Right.
I always thought midlife was 40 to 60, and then your elder years are 60 and above. And I am making a transition into crone, right? In the third stage of womanhood. However, I have always been like when I taught high school many years ago, I was a coach
Yeah.
and an athletic coach and coach basketball track. So 5 years ago, I thought, you know what? I need to get into shape and I'm very competitive. I need something. So I joined the Pennsylvania Keystone Games and I competed on statewide games in track. I just in javelin, discus, shot
Oh
put,
my
and high
God.
jump. And I won like it was six medals, four gold, two silver. And I'm like, I am not a freaking elder yet. You know what I mean?
Hell
I
no.
can kick butt and lift cows. What the
Well, I
hell?
don't know if we ever talked about it, but you see that medal right there? So I ran the New York City Marathon 2 years ago at 57 years old, never ran in my life. Went from 1 mile to 26 in a year. Same thing. I was like, I'm freaking doing it.
So I would hope that the numbers of midlife are going to push up a little because I bought a rocking chair in Costa Rica. They're known for their wooden rocking chairs. And when I
Yeah.
retired from the university a year ago, I bought that. But I'm not ready to sit on it.
Heck no. Well, it's okay to sit and have a cocktail or tea and then get up. I know. You know, it's interesting because people talk about retirement. I was like, retirement is such a bad word. Retiring is retiring from life. And if you don't keep having something going on, you're bored to death. I can't even imagine. I love what I do. I get up every day and love what I do.
Yeah, me too. And I got to stop using the word, oh, I'm retired now.
You are most certainly not retired.
I own four businesses, you know, right. The retreat business, the coaching business.
Yeah.
And
you are by far not retired. And especially now with the TV gig, that is so exciting. So is it going to be like a Dr. Drew or something where you give advice, or what is it going to be?
You know, I have an idea. I was thinking like a Dr. Phil thing, but I'm kind of a combination of Ruth Westenheimer,
Dr. Ruth,
and Brené Brown. If you could,
I love Brené.
If you could put them together, and I have an idea. And today I'm going to talk to a friend of mine that's a filmmaker, and I have a name for it, but I don't know if the network will go for it, so I'm not going to announce that yet.
No. Did you ever think you'd be doing that? Did you ever see yourself having a podcast and having a TV show?
I was the shyest person in high school that nobody would ever remember me. I was the person in class who never said a word. I didn't get like this until I became a high school teacher where I had to.
Right.
And then I ended up coaching girls on hockey fields outside, and I had to learn how to project my voice. And I didn't become a personality or influencer until about 10 years ago. So
wow.
It's been a lifetime of coming out.
In many ways.
You come out so many ways.
That's incredible. So if people want to work with you and they can't go to Costa Rica, how else can they work with you?
Well, I do all my coaching online.
Okay.
That's how I go around the world and speak, because I can talk to anybody. I just have to wake up sometimes at strange hours, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, all my coaching is over the internet. And I right now only do individual coaching.
Okay.
The first 3 months, 12 weeks is one-on-one.
Okay.
And then after that, they meet my group right away, my inner circle, for support. But then the last 3 months is that exploration, working on things and practice. And you don't need to talk to me all the time about that.
Right.
So we do once a week calls in a group at that point. So
that's great. Well, we will put the link to your website in there as well. Thank you so much for sharing this, because I am a firm believer that every woman needs to feel sexual, powerful, confident, and joyful. And you're helping and breaking through a lot of barriers. So, so excited. And you might be seeing me in Costa Rica.
I hope so. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I love talking to folks. In fact, the link I gave you for coaching is for a free consult for, I call it the Awaken Blueprint call.
I
and
love
I
it.
Actually sit with people one-on-one on Zoom for free.
Okay.
And I'll help map out your life, but your sexuality.
Oh my gosh.
And do that for free for a call.
Well, we will put that in the show notes as well. Thank you, Dr. Tony Bear, and everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye now.